Good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
My name is Philip, and I got sick like 3-4 weeks ago, and I have kind of a lingering cough, so I apologize in advance if that comes back. I took a cough drop this morning, so hopefully it won't. It's really good to meet some of you for the first time this past weekend. Really glad that you could be here. Really glad that we could all be here to enjoy this time, to enjoy each other, this property, and to touch the Lord. We have been talking about the joy of full salvation. And already, after just 1.5 days, don't you feel like we have a pretty full salvation? Do I need to turn this on? They promised me that if I press the down button. Oh, it's this way. Okay. I was the problem. we've talked about how we were dead in our trespasses and sins, just unresponsive to God, with no feeling, no way to get out. But hallelujah, God has made us alive together with Christ. And we previously walked in our trespasses and sins. We were just in this realm. Everything we did, wherever we went, it was just trespasses and sins. But the Lord has, under his blood, Jesus Christ becomes our righteousness. We are, we're in the following the course of the world. Last night, Rex talked about a sinful world, a material world, and a religious world. And I just so appreciate that I can just say, I am dead to the world. Sometimes, I may want something still, but it's just so good to just say, I'm dead to that. I'm dead to that. Now, in the same verse that comes right after the course of the world, this is the last thing we're going to talk about. Not the last negative thing we're going to talk about. Paul says, in which you formerly walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air, of the spirit that is now working in the sons of disobedience. I kind of like how Rex described it. He was like, it's kind of like there's a prince of the power of the air, and he has a ray gun. He's like zapping you with thoughts, with temptations, with lies, with questions. And it's like this picture. It's like, we're already dead. We're already in trespasses and sins. We're already in the course of the world. And on top of that, it's like there is a prince who is controlling all of this. There is a prince who has authority. And like Sam said, prince means that there's also a kingdom, right? It's not that Satan is acting alone. But our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but it's against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Satan is, he's not just a single crafty guy. He has generals, he has commanders, he has lieutenants, he has privates, and it's a power of the air, meaning, wherever you breathe air, it's just there. Anywhere you go, there is this power. sometimes when we read about how Jesus casts out demons or casts out evil spirits, it can be tempting to think that, it's like a metaphor for sin. Or it's like, that's just how they thought about illnesses back in the day. Some evil spirits cause people to have seizures, right? And then, people may say, or you may think, that's just how they describe seizures. Do you know that there's a verse in the Bible that talks about epilepsy? Jesus healed people from epilepsy. And then he also cast out evil spirits that cause people to have seizures. And so the Bible is very clear. It's not just a metaphor. It's not just something like a way to describe things. We need to know that we have a spirit, and God is spirit. And there are also spiritual forces of evil working against us. I read an interesting statistic recently. In a 2022 study conducted by the COVID Safe Project, 73% of adults aged 18 to 24 reported symptoms of mild to severe depression, with 50% reporting moderate symptoms or worse, the level at which follow-up care would be typically recommended in a clinical setting. Physically and mentally, you know, there are physiological and psychological causes, symptoms, treatments behind these things. It's also really helpful to know that we are also in a spiritual battle. The Apostle Paul, who wrote the book of Ephesians, he went around preaching the gospel. And wherever he preached the gospel, there would be people who would try to kill him. He preached the gospel, and then people would put him in jail. And he preached the gospel once, and people stoned him until they thought he was dead. And, after all this, he says, our struggle is not against flesh and blood. And, he does, it's not that he ignores the problems right there, right? Like, toward the beginning of his ministry, there was a plot to kill him. And so the brothers put him in a basket. I don't know where, what kind of baskets they had lying around that could fit a man. Maybe he had to crawl in a fetal position to fit in it. But, they got in a, put him in a basket and they lowered him over the city wall so that he could escape. And then he went on to preach the gospel in the next place. So it's not that I'm not giving this message to say that we ignore the physical threats that we have. But this message this morning, I'd like to say that we also are in a spiritual battle. You can see it everywhere. Even if the demons are hard to picture for you, we see the effect. It's not hard to see the effects. When I was 9 years old, a friend from school told me about a pornographic website at 9 years old. There is a power of the air. When I was in college, one of my close friends got really into sports cars. And so he picked up a lot of hours at work to be able to buy one. And he finally did. And then once he bought one, he had to pick up, more hours to pay off the payments. And that just kind of consumed his year. And he wasn't close to the Lord. He was never as close to the Lord after that. A power of the air. One time a sister came to me and said, I can't meet with you anymore because I am applying for a leadership position at a Christian club on campus. And they don't allow us to meet with you. But I want to be on leadership. There's a power in the air. Sometimes, sometimes a brother will tell me, I know I should give this up to the Lord, but I just really want to do my own thing. I have news for you. There is no such thing. There's no such thing. There is a power of the air, and there is a prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is at work in the sons of disobedience. There are definitely in this world, there are physiological ways to treat our issues. Good. There are psychological ways to treat our issues. Good. But we need to know that we are in a spiritual battle, and there are spiritual ways to guard ourselves against the schemes of the enemy. Oh, yeah. This is one of my favorite quotes from a spiritual brother. His name is Watchman Nee. I just give you this caveat. We must not attribute to the devil those troubles that are the result of our own breach of divine laws. All right, so just from the jump, we're not talking about like, you know, oh, I got 4 speeding tickets in 1 year. What is going on? What's happening to me? Anyways, so got that? Can we all, once it comes back, can we all read these verses together? Ready, go. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on the full armor of God so that you will be able to stand firm against the schemes of the devil. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of this darkness, against the spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist on the evil day, and having done everything, to stand firm. Stand firm, therefore, having belted your waist with truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having strapped on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. In addition to all, taking up the shield of faith with which you will be able to distinguish all the flaming arrows of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. Hallelujah, we have the armor of God.
Amen.
You know, he gives us armor to protect us against the schemes of the enemy. I'll just highlight a couple of things. Yeah, our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but rulers, powers, world forces of darkness, against spiritual forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And you know what our job is? Our job is to take up the full armor of God so that you will be able to resist on the evil day, having done everything to stand firm. Yeah. This word stand firm, that is good news to us. You know what the good news is? Christ has already won the victory.
Amen.
You know, God doesn't ask us to advance against the enemy. God doesn't ask us to find a way to defeat Satan. God has already done that. Christ has already won the victory. Our job is to stand firm in that victory. Our job is to not get knocked off of that. It's to put on the armor of God so we can stand firm. And how do we do that? It's kind of like this. It's kind of like, you know, one time Judah or the people of God were about to go into battle. You know what God told them? He said, "Do not fear or be dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours, but God's. You need not fight in this battle. Station yourselves, stand, and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out to face them, for the Lord is with you." And today, Paul says, "But in all these things, we overwhelmingly conquer through him who loved us." You know, standing is different from fighting. Fighting is kind of like, you know, you struggle. You fight your thoughts, you fight your feelings. You tell yourself, don't think like that, don't feel like that. You know, when you struggle like that, you've already lost because the victory is distant from you. You know what it means to stand firm? Is this, do not fear or be dismayed. Actually, I really like this. Station yourselves. Stand and see the salvation of the Lord on your behalf.
Amen.
And so how do we position ourselves? How do we station ourselves? Paul says, put on the full armor of God. There is a belt of truth to put on. There is a breastplate of righteousness to put on. There is a shield of faith to take up. There is foot armor of the preparation of the gospel of peace. You know, there is a helmet of salvation and there is a sword of the Spirit. You know, God has provided us a full armory to stand against the schemes of the enemy. And we just want to go through these. You know what it means to belt your waist with the truth? kind of like this verse, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you. A belt is, actually it just says gird yourself, right? Gird yourself with the truth. It's kind of like there's, you're putting yourself together. Everything, you know, all your clothing, all your armor, it all comes together at the belt. And when you gird yourself, you know, you just like, you don't fall apart. And it's amazing what happens when you spend some time in the Bible. There's a student that we've been reading the Bible with for the past few months. And we read Matthew, and then we read Mark. And after the end of reading Mark, I asked him, so, you know, what do you feel like, anything you feel like you've gained from reading the Gospels? And he said, you know, I used to only pray to God to help me on my exams. Now I know that I need to change. Amen?
Amen.
Isn't that really good?
Yeah.
just this weekend, somebody told me, I used to be really confused at the Bible verses that talk about death. Now I realize there is a spiritual death. Amen?
Amen.
Yeah, and you know, maybe if you're like a young Rex, you could read the Bible, whole Bible, and you realize the Old Testament is before Jesus. Amen. You know, there are just so many things you wouldn't believe that we are just not very clear on. you know, I want to follow the Lord, and I'm just trying to make the right choice. You know, am I being superstitious? Am I being driven by guilt? Yesterday, Sam, after giving his message on sin, he told me, you know, you only need to confess your sins once. Because when you confess your sins, the Lord is faithful and just to forgive us. And he cleanses us from all unrighteousness. We only need to confess our sins once. Anything after that may be from the enemy. You know, that is from truth.
Amen.
When you gird yourself with truth, when you just are filled with the word, spending time in the word, you just pick up on things. You know, you just pull yourself together. Everything just comes together. Sometimes the devil attacks us at our core. The breastplate is like something that protects your heart, your vital organs. It's real, the guilt that can come when Satan will tell you, hey, remember when you did this? Hey, all you do is, you know, this sin. All you do is this. We have a breastplate of righteousness.
Amen.
Look at this verse. They overcame him because of the blood of the Lamb and because of the word of their testimony. And they did not love their life even when faced with death. You know how they overcame him? Not by my perfection, not by my worthiness, because of the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
The Bible says when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, we are justified before God. He becomes our righteousness. And under his blood, we are forgiven and cleansed of all unrighteousness. So when Satan tells you, think about when you did this, think about when you did that sin, remember when you did that sin, you can tell him, I may have made mistakes, I may not be perfect, but I have the blood of the Lamb.
Amen.
Jesus Christ is my righteousness.
Amen.
And even beyond, or in addition to the forgiveness of our sins, Ephesians says, put on the new self, which in the likeness of God has been created in righteousness and holiness of the truth.
Amen.
You know what that means? That means we are not bound to our sins. That means when Jesus, when Satan tells you, hey, all you do is this, you know what you can say to him? You can say, no, I can put on the new self.
Amen.
I can put on a new man.
Amen.
I have a new man that's created in the likeness of God and holiness and righteousness of the truth. Amen. We have to go through these a little bit quickly. Really, each of these could be its own message. But third thing is, strap on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. This word preparation is only used once in the New Testament, and you can translate it a couple different ways. One way is like a foundation, right? Your preparation is your foundation. And what is our foundation? What is our firm footing founded upon? Is peace. Peace with God. Sometimes if I ask you, how does God feel about you? If you tell me, I'm not sure. Or, what will God do when you come to him? If you say, I don't know, then there's no foundation, right? There's no firm footing. But Romans tells us that, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. You may be experiencing temptation, and you don't know what you're gonna do. You don't know which way you're gonna go. You know what you can say? You can say, I have peace with God. God, help me. You can say, when someone treats you badly, you can say, man, I just wanna sock him in the face. But I have peace with God. God, help me. When we have this kind of peace with God, there is a foundation. There is a firm footing. When you have peace with God, you can come to God. When you have peace with God, you can ask God for help. He won't condemn you. Another way to translate this word preparation is readiness. It's like your preparation is your readiness. And it kind of reminds you of this verse, how will they preach unless they are sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news of good things. How beautiful are the feet of those who preach the gospel. Something that can really protect our feet is preaching the gospel. There's a sister who's dating a non-believing guy. And some of the saints, say she needs to break up with him. And, I haven't met him. It may be true. But what about this? What about, can you preach the gospel to him? She may get her feet dirty in that situation, right? But what can protect her is, I'm here for the gospel. Maybe you joined the ultimate Frisbee team at your school. And, the people are swearing, people are telling crude jokes, they're talking about all sorts of ungodly things. You could get your feet dirty in that situation, but what can protect your feet? I'm here for the gospel. I'm here to preach the gospel to them. Our feet are what gets dirty in the world, right? That's why Jesus washes his disciples' feet, right? He tells them the feet are what needs to be cleaned. You could just stay inside in the church life and never get your feet dirty. You could just stay at the Ashland Woods Fellowship Center with all the brothers and sisters, just singing songs and listening to messages, and you never get your feet dirty. Or you can shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Wherever I walk, I'm here for the gospel. That way, that sanctifies you. It keeps your feet clean. Remember that Jesus didn't ask the Father that we would be taken out of the world. Actually, he sent us into the world. Wherever I walk, I am here for the gospel. There is a shield of faith. And this one in particular, Paul says, it protects us from the flaming arrows of the enemy. And flaming arrows, you could say are temptations, proposals, doubts, questions, lies, attacks. Considerations that inflame lust, pride, revenge, evil feelings. We experience these things, right? We experience these things. And sometimes it can kind of be all that we see. Like, all I see is that right now is that I'm angry. All I see right now is that I'm really tempted. know, all I see right now is that my life is hard when I follow the Lord. But can we read 2 Corinthians 5:7 all together? Ready? Go. For we walk by faith, not by sight. You know, we have a different way of walking. Sometimes all we see is what's in front of us. But even, you know, even so, we can walk by faith. And we'll talk about this a little bit more in a little bit. For now, I just want to finish up helmet and sword. Okay, take up the helmet of salvation. So 1 Thessalonians calls it the helmet of the hope of salvation. A helmet protects your head. You know what can really protect your mind? Is a hope of salvation. You know, sometimes we can get anxious about, you know, school, anxious about our careers. We can get bothered by the way people treat us. We can be swept up with material things. What can really protect you, your mind, is the hope of salvation. Can we read these verses all together? Ready? Go.
Who, according to his great mercy, has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. Amen. Yeah, there is a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. You know, you may find yourself in a situation where you may tell the Lord, Lord, I have so much work to do. I don't know how I'm going to get it all done. But I have a salvation waiting for me in the last day. You know, you could tell the Lord, Lord, this brother always looks at me funny, and I just want to punch him. I'm just waiting for the salvation to be revealed in the last time. You know, this hope of salvation can protect your mind from so many things. Amen. All right, this is the last one. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And then this verse is referencing when Peter is preaching the gospel. Peter and John are preaching the gospel, and they're brought in front of all the elders who are asking them, like, how could you do this? Who's your authority? And Peter is filled with the Holy Spirit, and he begins to speak. And he begins to speak the word of God. We've already talked about girding yourself with truth, and that's kind of like more of a, like, you know, you're in the word, and it you know, that kind of changes you over time. The sword is, the spirit is a little bit more like, what's now? What's now? You know, there's a sister who visited a Bible study that we had, and she's great. We love her. And a lot of times when you, like, start to say something, she'll, like, kind of, like, finish her sentence, like, under her breath, and she'll just, like, rattle off, like, three or four just, like, Christian, like, platitudes. Like, you know, like, things that, like, you would hear in a message that you know she's been churched. Just, like, three or four of them. And it's kind of funny because, like, most of the time it's, like, not what you're about to say. But it sounds good. And, you know, she's not the only one. God may look at you, you know, and maybe, like, some of us have given people advice, right? God may look at you and say, wait a minute. Isn't that the same thing you said to the last three people, all with different problems? From an experience that you had 5 years ago that you're still talking about? What about what's now? Amen. What is the Spirit speaking now? Amen. What is the Word of God now? Man, we should have that. Come on. All right. So we have, can we just, like, read these all together?
This is good to know. Ready? Go. Belt your waist with truth. Put on the breastplate of righteousness. Strap on your feet the preparation of the gospel of peace. Take up the shield of faith. Take the helmet of salvation. Take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. We were reading this with Rex, and I really like something that he said. He said something like, these are impressively unimpressive. Right? You gird yourself with truth. You have breastplate of righteousness. Actually, let me translate this for you. You read the Bible. You take the blood of Christ. You preach the gospel. You trust God. You think about the future. And you are in spirit. That's it. Any church Christian can rattle these things off, right? But you know what? You don't take it up. These things are so simple, so basic, we think, but you don't take it up. That's why Paul has to tell the Ephesians, having done all, we can stand firm. These things are so basic, but the effectiveness is so profound. And, you know, when we practice these things in our lives, you find out it's so much more than just like, the Christian life is so much more than, oh, I should read the Bible. No, it's, I can gird myself with truth. And, you know, sometimes, how about, I want to show you this verse. Oops. Then that lawless one will be revealed, whom the Lord will slay with the breath of his mouth, and bring to an end by the appearance of his coming. You know, sometimes we think that in order to fight Satan, we need a hurricane. We need to be on the mountains. We need to know the really advanced, complex spiritual things. You know what Paul says? No, the Lord can slay with the breath of his mouth. And this is the salvation that we have. This is the victory that we stand in. We just put on the armor that God has provided, and we're able to stand in his victory. This is a Lord who can slay with the breath of his mouth. This is the victory that we have. What a full salvation. Amen. Before we end, I did want to say something about going back to the, you know, depression and anxiety. I just want to repeat, this message is not to say that, you know, we should, you know, like, that it's wrong to think our thoughts, or it's wrong for feelings to go through us. What we're fighting are not the thoughts and the feelings. What we're fighting are the schemes of the devil. And, you know, in order to do that, it's really helpful to be girded with the truth. It's really helpful to have a shield of faith. And one of the most practical ways to do that is just to have some verses with us. You know, that way you have something to put your faith in. Here I have three verses. And, you know, obviously there are a lot more than three verses that we can have. And some, you know, may fit your situation. Some, there may be others that fit your situation better. But I just want to go through a few to start with. Sometimes we can feel inadequate, like we're not enough. It's actually a very common feeling to have. And, you know, we may see it in the way through the way other people treat us. We may see it through, you know, the way we see ourselves. But you know how we can find worth in ourselves? There's a psalm that says, "O Lord, you have searched me and known me. You know when I sit down and when I rise up. You understand my thought from afar. You scrutinize my path and my lying down, and are intimately acquainted with all my ways. Even before there is a word on my tongue, behold, O Lord, you know it all. You have enclosed me behind and before and laid your hand upon me. You know, there is someone, there is one who knows, who has searched you and knows you thoroughly. He knows when you sit up or sit down and when you stand up. He knows what you're going to say even before you say it. He has searched everything in your life. And he is the one who loves you. He is the one, you know, to him, you are worthy to be redeemed. Just one verse. Sometimes we can feel uncertain about the future, anxious about, you know, what's to come. What's going to happen if I don't do well on this exam? You know, what's going to happen if I, you know, if I take a job with a lower salary for the Lord? Or if I quit my job for the Lord, move somewhere new for the Lord? This is a little bit logical. All right, I'll just read it. Basically, Jesus says, I'll just tell you. Basically, Jesus says, life is more than food. Body is more than clothing. You know, sometimes we want to control our lives. We want to control our well-being. Actually, all you're controlling is the food that you eat and the clothing that you wear. Someone who eats steak dinners and wears designer clothes, how different are they really from someone who eats and drinks modestly? They both have life. They both have body. God knows exactly what you need. You are going to be okay.
Amen.
When you seek his kingdom first, everything will be added to you. This one's a little bit logical, you know, the Bible will reason with you. Can I show you one that's, I don't think it's, yeah, it's not on this, but it's a little bit more inspirational. Is it verse 1? Fear not. This is God talking to Abraham. He says, fear not, for I am your shield. And your exceedingly great reward. Sometimes when I'm anxious, I don't really want to think. I don't really want to go through the logic. Logic, like, doesn't work either anyways when we're anxious. Hey, how about when you're anxious, can you touch this?
Amen.
Fear not.
Amen.
You know why? Because God is my shield.
Amen.
And God is my exceedingly great reward. Amen. And then I think the last one we have is, sometimes we do feel alone as well. We may feel rejected. And you know, I could tell you, you're not alone. You are fellow members of the household of God with all the brothers and sisters. You know, there's verses for that. But you know, sometimes it's also just helpful to know that sometimes when we follow the Lord, it can be lonely. You know, we are not called to always be supported or to be appreciated. And it's just helpful to know that there is someone who knows exactly what that feels like. For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. And then, you know, when we live a life of following him, in still serving others, still loving others, God is not unjust so as to forget your work and the love which you have shown toward his name, in having ministered and still ministering to the saints. People may not see, but the Lord will see. And you know, despite how we feel in the moment, it is much better not to have our reward in the form of people seeing or people responding. It's much better to receive the reward from the Father.
Amen.
Like I said, there's many more verses and there's many more situations. But I just, this is my last word. I just encourage you to just bring everything to the Lord. Philippians says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. When we're going through things, it can be easy to not want to tell anyone. But the reality is that our hearts and minds are just constantly under attack. We all go through it. And the promise is that when you bring it to the Lord, He will supply peace beyond understanding. When you bring it to the Lord, you know, He will supply everything you need to stand. Otherwise, how will the church be built? If God doesn't supply you with that peace, how will His exceedingly, His immeasurable riches of His grace and kindness toward us in Christ Jesus be made known in the ages? Right? If He doesn't supply you with everything you need to stand firm against the enemy, how will the universe know about God's manifold wisdom toward us? The promise is, when we come to the Lord, He will supply. But we have to come. We have to put on the armor of God. You know, we have to do all that we can in order to stand firm. This is the salvation that we have. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord.